I'm sitting here with the great guitarist Pat Martino. How are you, Pat?
I'm just great.
I just really enjoyed your set. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you just a few questions about your life. I've interviewed a lot of guys, but your life is more remarkable than most. It's incredible. I usually don't do this, but could you tell us a little bit, just like that last statement that you made up on the bandstand about your aneurysm, and could you tell the listening audience something about that?
Well, the aneurysm was the pinnacle, the result of an ailment that appeared. I was born with a problem, and the problem was AVM, arterial venous malformation.
Okay.
And throughout my life, it just began to intricately expand until it became the size of a pear. Oh, and what AVM really is an entanglement of certain nerves. And this took place in my brain, on the left hemisphere of my brain. So by the time I was 30, in my 30s, it reached its pinnacle. But prior to that that conclusion, there were many years of misdiagnosis. And throughout those years, I experienced locked psychiatric wards, depression, pharmaceutical elements, you know, prescribed medications.
Sure.
Electric shock treatment, many different things. And until finally it reached this pinnacle, and it finally was diagnosed properly in a mechanical context. It went through an MI, and the CAT scan revealed what it truly was for the first time. That happened in 1979. And what took place afterward was the removal of 60% of my left temporal lobe. And that, in some ways, eliminated the use of that hemisphere, the left hemisphere. And it took approximately 17 years for all of the procedures that I find it's difficult to find the proper words for it, but everything transferred over to the right hemisphere.
Okay.
And in that particular context, all of the arts and all of the creative productivity takes place in the right hemisphere to begin with. So it went home. It was no longer subject to trying to evaluate the business end of the arts, the responsibilities of being a leader in the music business, quite a number of things in terms of record contracts and everything else. Priorities became shifted into the creative productivity realm.
Okay.
And due to that, it also produced a lack of memory, and in some ways it eliminated any interests of my own in the past or the future. And it really focused me on the moment, as it has to this very day.
Isn't that something?
And it's just a wonderful experience, although there are mishaps. I mean, sometimes it seems to be a responsibility to be able to recall the responsibilities themselves of everyday living.
Mm-hmm.
The bills, the upcoming future and plans and preparations for a future that can be more beneficial. It seems that these things are very elusive to me at this point in my life. And it demands faith, it demands a complete relationship with creative productivity more than anything else. And I must say this, it's extremely rewarding.
Okay.
More than ever before. I remember a time when I really depended upon the promises of the business. If you do this right and you do it well, you'll make it someday, is an old saying. I never really saw that come to fulfillment. It never fulfilled itself. the one thing that has fulfilled in every way is concentration and watching the moment, the details of now, here and now.
Okay, are you happy with that?
Oh, I'm extremely happy.
Well, that's great.
It's the most simple thing that can be.
Well, let me ask you a little bit about your beginnings. I know your dad was a musician.
No, my dad was a tailor.
Oh, he was a tailor.
His hobby was the guitar.
Oh, his
hobby?
Okay.
He was a dreamer.
Oh, okay.
He wanted to be a guitar player, and he did through me.
Okay, so that's how I was going to... My next question was how you happened to take up the guitar, but that is that...
I think it was more of a gift to my dad than it was for me, personally. I wanted to be an astronomer.
Oh.
That's what I wanted to be as a child. I had deep interest in the universe.
Oh.
In astronomy itself.
Do you still have those...
Not in the same way. I mean, I didn't pursue it educationally, but I've always been open to the stars, to the galaxies.
Now with the guitar, you did take to the guitar though, and
it. You know, I looked more for anything. I looked for an attachment, something that I had rapport with my dad. I love my dad very deeply. And I wanted to be, like, I think most children want to be that way with their father. They want to live up to what their father would like them to be.
Right.
You know. So that's what I did. My father wanted me to be a guitar player. So I use that instrument like I use it now. I'm not a guitar player. There's a great deal of power in it. You see, and I use that power for other reasons. I use that power for social, for cultural, for educational reasons, to be able to fulfill things that have very little to do with music. It supports me. It allows me to feel at ease with tomorrow, with all of the things that are supplementary to existence and to survival.
So the guitar is like a tool for giving you some happiness in other areas aside from music. Though I assume the music gives you happiness too.
And sometimes it does when I'm in performance, only then.
Okay. Now your concept before that happened, and now your concept of playing, has that changed? Did you...
Extensively.
Okay. How?
I used to be interested in specific arenas, most of all jazz, and my interest was highly competitive. It was based upon the competitive nature of this society in America, in the music business, with the record companies. My interest had a great deal to do with all of the significant labels, to have captured almost like notches on the handle of my gun. Each and every label, Warner Brothers and Columbia and Blue Note, Prestige, and each of these were on the handle of my gun. I don't carry a gun anymore. That's the difference.
That's a good way of
putting That's the
it.
Difference.
Okay.
That's okay. The difference.
Okay, well...
And during those years, I did consider myself a musician because I was addicted to the profession, the occupation. I was addicted to its members. And in the same way, I found them to be superior to other people. So I found myself with them more than others. And in those years... It produced alienation to my neighbors who had nothing to do with music, who had a completely different occupation, you know, were technicians or mechanics, or maybe they were someone totally different than music, and there was an alienation of that and a distance between us. When this took place, things changed. Things were reduced to the moment, to the now, and to here and now. And at the same time, whatsoever and whosoever came into that moment, I began to interpret and define different than ever before. That person or persons became my life, not strangers. They became my life. And therefore, this is my life. You are my life at this very, in this very moment. So I cannot evaluate what you do as to your importance as an individual.
Okay.
You are my life. And therefore, I must experience you at the level that I want to experience my life. And that's where fulfillment comes, and that's where the embrace is a necessity.
Well, now, one of the things that I noticed in your book, and I wanted to plug that too, you have a book out.
Yes.
Of your life. The book is a Here and Now.
Here and Now.
Here and Now, yeah, because we want to encourage everybody to go out and buy that book. Because I read some excerpts from the book, and I was really impressed by your sincerity, just as I am right now, actually. And the one thing that one of the excerpts that I read was I was impressed with how deeply, when you got into this music, that you wanted to really get into the guts of the music and how you went about it. You know, and I think you left Philadelphia and went to New York to get with Willis Jackson and somebody.
Yeah, at the age of 15.
Yeah, sure. I thought that was really impressive.
Children, the dreaming stage is a wonderful thing, you know. If the child is allowed to dream, some of the greatest creative motions take place in the mind of a child. Most of us, as we gain age, we move far distance from our childishness, and we find it more necessary to adhere to what is going to be supplementary for our own existence and a continuance of it. And sometimes that doesn't work with childishness because it doesn't fit the apparatus that is in function socially and culturally. The years that took place for me prior to the transformation were deep in terms of investment on my behalf. And they were imbued with opportunities that allowed me to interact with some of the greatest individuals as human beings, as artists in their own right. And I could mention name after name, but I don't think that's the issue. I think the fact that they were prolific and they were major, major artists in that field of endeavor is enough to say that that experience prior to the transformation already took care of a history that was automatically imbued with a place in the history of jazz. When the transformation took place and I came out of the other side with no identity, there was a period of time that was an onslaught of traumatic experiences. During that time, I had forgotten about the history that was already invested, the past, up to 30 years of it, until finally I reached a stage where I wanted to talk and I wanted to interact socially with others. I came out of the encasement, the privacy, mm-hmm. the hiding place, the tabernacle, and I came back out on the streets, and there were times when I would sit at a bar, and I would just sit there in depression, and I would sit there, and no one would bother me, and until finally, when I became more inactive, I came to know that all these people knew who I was. They all had my records and everything. Now it was up to me to decide, what do you want to do with this opportunity? Well, I wanted to find out what life was all about. I didn't care about the past anymore because that side of my brain was gone. The left hemisphere was gone. It was inactive. So I couldn't really take advantage of that anymore. And the only thing that was left was the moment. That's when the instrument that I play, the opportunities that manifest from it became secondary, very much like a pen. The penmanship was there, and that's what I worked on. I worked on it very hard to be able to use that penmanship and to be able to re-amplify its precision and its impact.
Now, what is it that made you, at that point, and I hope I can state this correctly, but what is it that made you gravitate back toward the guitar instead of going somewhere else?
Because it was essential to take advantage of the power. There was a power there due to the history of what took place prior to the interruption.
And you recognize that?
I recognize that, but not in the same way that I used to. I saw it, as I just began to say, very much like a pen. And it was important to reestablish penmanship. And by doing so, then it was no longer my interest to be more involved in terms of a successful career as a guitarist or as a jazz star or as a band leader or as holding a record contract with Warner Brothers or with Blue Note or with anyone else. But these were tools, and all of these collectively were finally seen in a different way. They were seen as a power.
Okay.
And now came a time to decide what I wanted to use that power for.
Okay.
That had nothing to do with addiction to being a musician as an occupation.
Okay.
There was a drastic change.
I understand that. Well, I don't want to take up all of your time, but I really want to thank you. It's been very enlightening for me.
Well, I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, very much so. And I want to thank you so much for doing this for me.
That's really
okay.
It's my pleasure.
Okay.
My pleasure.